welcome to Giant Swanstown.
For one last time in 2020, we welcome you into Giant Swanstown. Liam Flanagan here and Adam Curley as always. G'day, Curls.
G'day, Flanners. Early finish to the year.
Not
a great thing, is it?
You and I, we had grand plans for the final series. I mean, we won't disclose them, but we had grand plans, assuming that one, maybe two Sydney teams would be there, but at least one, and those plans are all for naught now.
Going to be a blockbuster October, but looks like we'll be watching a lot of NFL and baseball playoffs.
We
and,
had sponsors on board. We had, you know, we had outside broadcast plan. We had OB. We had listener events planned. So much just gone to the wayside. Anyway, we are going to we're going to wrap things up. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to present the Lam Mumford Medallion, the inaugural Lam Mumford Medallion. We've got to review the seasons as a whole. We're all going to do it. It's going to be nice and tight and bright, but we're going to get to a lot. But as always, as we've done every episode here in Giant Swanstown, we need to check the sounds of the town first. Differing sounds of the town this week, given that both seasons are over, though, Curls. Let's check how things are sounding at the Giants.
Time to say
in more ways than one as well, with the news moments before we started recording that Zach Williams will be exploring his free agency options.
Yeah, devastating news for the Giants. The rumour mongering had started to get into full force over the last month, but I still thought, or maybe I was hopeful that Zach would stay around, but he's heading to Victoria, it looks like. So the Dash brothers are no more.
We're going to talk about that because I think you need to, this is your intellectual property, but I think you need to decide whether you're prepared to open up the Dash Brothers moniker so that it can include Lachie Ash, because I think he's going to play a role off that halfback next year. But let's check how things are sounding over the other side of the bridge. Decidedly more upbeat at Moore Park, Curls. Even though they finished the season with a loss to the Cats?
Yeah, like we said a lot this year, I think despite results and where they finished and the fact they didn't make finals, Swans fans should be very excited about what's happening, and hopefully they can have a big summer and come back bigger and better.
And conversely, whereas the Giants are now looking at Zach Williams, maybe others walking out the door, we now know that Tommy Papley will be sticking around. You just get the sense that the Swan players are going to be strutting around Sydney over the summer, you know, shirts out, rigs out, looking good, soaking up that sun, feeling pretty positive about 2021 and what it holds. But let's quickly have a look at both games. Giants took on St Kilda Friday night. At the time, finals still on the table if they win the game, and here's how we called it on Triple M.
Tim Membry. Very gettable chance. And the Saints fans in the house love it. That's a perfect start. St Kilda Membry's got it.
Spills free now. Quick snap is really nice from Daniel Lloyd. And the Giants, their opening goal, they're 1-1. St Kilda 1-2.
To take the mark, Battle picked it up off his toes. That's third kick. Josh Battle kicks an outstanding goal. The Saints get their second.
Yeah, Bradley Hill, a really nice second half of the season. 45. That is a magnificent kick of the footy. Hill loves it, and so he should. Eight career goals as Jake unloads from 50 right through the middle. Riccardi with a tasty finish. Riccardi hits the pack hard, splits the pack. Toby Green grabs out of the middle air. That is a beautiful snap from Toby Green.
He's a pretty good set shot kick. Rowan Marshall kicks the first goal of the second half.
Dishes it off to a teammate. Goal for the Saints. Loney on the board. And that really hurts the Giants.
Intercept mark. Oh, Billings picks it up, kicks the goal of the Saints. And that is a big moment in this game.
Advantage, pay, goal! Another one for the Saints. Dominating the GWS now. Grand finalists last year. They're not going to play finals in 2020.
Giants can do a bit of soul searching in the summer. And these are the new faces of the Saints who will play finals for the first time since 2011. They have smashed the GWS Giants tonight by 52 points. Well done to the Saints.
52 points, a Saints outfit who are united as a team, Curls, and should and will be playing finals.
Yeah, well done to the Saints. Good to see a club back in there. It's been out for a while, but the Giants just fortunately never looked likely. As you said, results didn't go their way anyway, but I think they're death knell was signed with those losses to the Crows in Melbourne. So wasn't much to play for in the second half, and it probably summed up the season, really, the way they played.
Matt De Boer was a late withdrawal before the game. Adam Kennedy and Harry Himmelberg both omitted. You know, we saw Isaac Cumming come in for another hit out, Jake Riccardi back and Stephen Cornelio recalled, but writing was on the wall. The energy and enthusiasm of the outfit just wasn't there.
No, and I think, as we said, goes back to the Crows loss and the Melbourne loss, that they'd done their hard work then. They might have had a lot more to play for, or maybe to seal it, to not just seal a finals berth, but get up towards sixth or seventh maybe. So it just looked like, their season was cooked, and unfortunately, that's why the boys look towards the end.
Yep. The season ends with the Giants sitting in 10th position on the ladder, the lowest they've finished, I think, since, 2015? But the road ahead is a tricky one now, and all the pressure in the external media is being heaped on the club more broadly and questioning whether the two-year extension for Leon Cameron is the right decision. Should they be looking at trying to buy out that deal, which there's some provision allowing them to pay a six-month buyout thing? I don't know. The point is the Giants have got some thinking to do and some tinkering to do. We're going to talk about what their trade window could look like in a bit. Let's flip over to the Sydney Swans. They took on the Cats on Sunday night. This was a good game of footy. I really enjoyed this game of footy. Here's how we called it on Triple M.
Apley in nice position. Blakey strides on from 50 on the angle. What about that for a finish? Dawson lines them up. Sydney have got three in the first 5 minutes. 18 to zip.
Big Tomahawk closing in on 600 goals. And this should be his first. And it is.
Strange hand pass to Myers. He might get a back here. Guthrie snapping on the left. Is it two and a minute for the Cats? My wordy, it is. Now Geelong are coming.
A clear one bite. Papley roved it beautifully. Right foot across the body. That is a Crummers goal. Gary Ablett made it his own. 100% to Gary. Runs inside 50. Lowers the eyes. Gary Ablett, welcome back.
Oh. Eventually to McInerney. Wobbling ball. That hurts Geelong. No worries at all. Dangerfield. Clutch goal. Dangerfield. Right through the middle. The Cats are in front for the first time all afternoon.
Dangerfield, the move to full forward. This will be three goals in a row to Dangerfield. Right foot, high, up and under ball. And that is a champion at work.
Here comes McInerney. Have a shot, mate, from 45. It's a low ball. Just hang on a moment. Hang on a moment. It's back to a goal.
They've marked the ball, Sydney. 9 seconds to go. Lloyd's going to go inside 50. They need a mark. What have they got? Dawson at the front. Row bottom out of the pack. Smothered off the boot. Blightgoes is unbelievable again. And the Cats are going at home. They win by six. They get the double chance. 69 play 63, and Dangerfield got them over the line.
Came down to the last kick of the game, Curls. In the end, the Cats prevailed by just 6 points, 69 to 63. It was a great fight back.
Yeah, well done to the Cats, obviously. Top four team for a reason. Well done to Mark Blitzales for with his go-go gadget arms that might have saved them. But well done to the Swans as well. That was a great effort. A five-goal opening quarter against one of the best teams in the comp. And then even when the Cats did come back, they still didn't go away as they haven't done all year. So they must be congratulated for their efforts as well.
The Patrick Dangerfield to full forward is a card that not many teams can counter. You got to tip your hat to Robbie Fox for having a dip. There's very few players that can go with Danger one out anyway. And that's what proved to be the difference in the end. I mean, Danger was just too big and too strong and too fast for Robbie Fox when the ball came in nicely. At one point, Gary Rowan, the former Swan, just hit this beautiful fat side kick. And Robbie Fox was as close as a defender could be when you start on the back shoulder. But Dangerfield has that big ass and backside and frame where he jumps early and takes these chest marks that it is physically impossible to spoil around.
Yep, and they're probably the only man the Swans have got that could have handled that job is Dane Rampey, and he's sitting in Sydney, obviously with his hand all banged up. So Robbie Fox has had a big workload this year, so doesn't give up and has a real crack. So unfortunately, they were just undermanned.
They were, I mean, it came right down to the last moment. The Rowbottom snap, you could see it on James Rowbottom's face as he snapped. And Blitzarves, again, one of the few men in the comp who might have been able to smother that with the arms. It was, I don't know if it would have gone through. It's nice to think that it would have. A draw would have really upset the Cats going into their finals run. It just, it was a tremendous game. You tip your hat to every single Swans player. And I don't think John Longmire would be in any way disappointed with the loss because it was such a fantastic showing. After Tom Papley delivered 2 goals, 4, naturally John Longmire was asked about it in the post-match presser. Here's how he responded.
Do you give any advice to Tom Papley about him kicking, like, I think, 2 goals, 5 from 8 shots or so?
Yeah, please kick straight. What do you say?
How does he sort of feel about that? Do you know how he will react to having the game almost on his boot at times and then and missing some chances?
Oh, he's disappointed. That, you're talking to a bloke who's kicked 2 goals, 8 in a game before, so I understand that these things sometimes happen. And, you know, his effort and energy was fantastic. And that's half the battle. If you know, we're disappointed. He's disappointed he missed them because he was on fire. And it would have been great to get that buffer. But if you haven't got the ball in your hand, it's very hard to have those 7 scoring shots. And he was getting them.
Unfortunately, I remember that day. I think I was year 8. To think that Big John finished that season with 98 goals and kicked 2 goals, 8 in the last game. I'm sure he probably doesn't think about it much, but I don't know how you wouldn't think about it every day when you raise your head off the pillow. But still kick 98 goals. So hopefully Tom Papley with his 2-4, 2-5 or whatever it was, hopefully he can find those kicking boots. And yeah, it was great to see him commit to the Swans, and hopefully he can get back with the big buds the next year and provide some more headaches.
Yeah. All right, Curls, we've looked at both games, neither team playing finals. We've saved the votes, though. I'm going to deliver the Sydney Swans votes for the Lamb Mumford Medallion, a.k.a. the Lamb Sausage, the prestigious Giant Swan Town Award. I went 3 votes to Josh Kennedy. I think we just saw how much of a difference he would have made had he been fit and healthy all season. He is one of the best inside mids in the competition, has been for the last probably 8-9 years of AFL, and I gave him the 3 votes. I gave 2 votes to Jordan Dawson. I thought he hasn't had as good a year as he had last season, but we've started to see the best of him at the back end of the year. Honourable mention to Justin McInerney. I thought he was fantastic again, kicking 2 goals off half back. I love him. We talked about he's a member of that. He's got a bit of that nastiness in him. I love it. But I went with 1 vote for Tom Papley. Even though he delivered 2 goals, 4, he proved an absolute headache in that forward 50 for the Cats all afternoon. So I gave a vote to Tom Papley. So 3 to Kennedy, 2 to Dawson, 1 to Papley. Now, time for you to deliver the Giants votes, Curls, because this will decide the Lamb Mumford Medallion.
Yes, thank you. It was a tough night to give votes. Harry Perryman was okay. Jacob Hopper was okay. Taranto, Shaw, all did okay, but I set it on Josh Kelly. Finished with 18 disposals and 4 clearances. Led the Giants for clearances, and they just looked dangerous any time he had the ball. 2 votes, the skipper, Stephen Cornelio, rightfully back in the side and showed what he's all about. The 23 touches, 3 clearances, led the team for score involvements. So he gets the 2, and good to see him back. But the 3 votes was a pretty easy decision. And that goes to Lockie Whitfield with 28 disposals, 467 metres gained. Just continued on his strong form. It's been outstanding all year. I think the Giants just wish they had 2 or 3 of him and his ability to run. So an outstanding year for him.
All right. With the votes of the final round cast, I'm going to run you through the top 10 finishes for the Lamb Mumford Medallion for season 2020. In 10th place, very controversially missing out on possibly getting votes in round 17, Stephen Cornelio on 9 votes finishes 10th. Equal in, I guess, do they call it 9th spot or 8th spot if there's 2 players there?
Not sure. I think let's they
say,
call it 8.
Let's say equal 8th spot, like they do in golf. Equal 8th spot on 10 votes apiece, Dane Rampey and Jacob Hopper. Josh Kennedy comes in 7th position, 14 votes. 6th place, Nick Haynes, 15 votes. 5th place, Toby Green, 16 votes. Now we get to the business end, the top. I'll stuff this up because this is the top 4 anyway. In equal 3rd place on 22 votes, Jake Lloyd and Josh Kelly. In 2nd place on 26 votes, Luke Parker, which means the inaugural winner of the Lamb Mumford Medallion on 31 votes, 5 votes clear, best player all season, Lockie Whitfield of the GWS Giants.
magnificent season, as I just said, very consistent again. Yeah, well deserved. That was a dogfight between him and Luke Parker and Jake Lloyd was up there, like we said, and a couple of others. But yeah, it just seemed that Whitfield was regularly among the votes and a well deserved win. I'm sure he's won awards before in his life. I'm sure he will again, but probably none as prestigious as this one.
Well,
so.
Now the naivety that you and I have both shown. I reached out to the Giants today, completely oblivious to the fact. What day is it today, Kels?
Today is Monday, I think. Yes.
Monday after a footy season just ended. What normally happens on a Monday after a footy season just ended?
Yeah, well, I didn't think about that either. Lockie's probably in neck deep in about 15 schooners so by now. So fair chance not coming on the show.
Our chance of getting Lockie Whitfield on today to discuss this award were slim to none. But, Kels, the great man, aware of the prestigiousness of this award, was kind enough to record us a message.
G'day, Kels. G'day, Liam. Such an honour for me to win the Lamb Mumford medal, right up there with my All-Australian jersey and the best and fairest from a few years ago. So I'll put that right at the top of the cabinet. Thanks for the short notice. I won't be able to make today as I've got prior commitments, as you'd imagine. But, yeah, just want to say a big thanks. Appreciate you guys.
Lockie Whitfield, the winner of the 2020 Lamb Mumford medallion. And he said it, Kels. He goes right alongside the All-Australian blazer and the best and fairest.
Yeah, and rightly so. And thank you very much to Lockie for giving us a shout out there. I know he's a huge fan, as are all the players and coaches. But, yeah, thanks to the Giants for organising that and to you, Liam, for organising that. That was great to have him on as our only guest. Would you call him a guest? Only
a
other
guest.
Voice on the show.
And, that's a guest spot.
Yeah, no, he's obviously no doubt wearing that medallion right now at the bar with all the Giants players probably looking at it in awe.
I think he adds another All-Australian blazer to his cabinet for what it's worth this year. I think he's had an outstanding year. And in what would be, from their standards, a disappointing season for the Giants. All right, medals decided. The season's done. Let's look back on it as a whole, Kels. We're going to go through some various categories and we'll do both teams at the same time. MVP, let's start it off with that award. Who was your most valuable player for the Giants and the Swans?
Yeah, well, unsurprisingly, it was Lockie Whitfield who led the Giants for disposals, metres gained, and was tied third for score involvements. And he was the number one and MVP by quite some way for me. And across town, it was Luke Parker who the same. I think he was probably the standout along with Jake Lloyd, but led the team for contested possessions and clearances and tackles, and he was third for score involvements. So with Kennedy missing plenty of games in the middle of the year, injured, and Isaac Keeney missing most of the year, the co-skipper took on a massive workload inside and was an outstanding player all year.
Yeah, I think Lockie Whitfield agree. I think he takes home another best and fairest at the Giants this season. And I think Luke Parker and Jake Lloyd will be bob of the heads for best and fairest. I'm not exactly sure how the Swans voting system works, but I think Jake Lloyd's year was outstanding as well. But I gave it to Luke Parker as well. All right, we agree on the MVP. What about best first-year player?
This might be controversial, might raise some eyebrows. But for the Giants, I've gone Jake Riccardi. Apologies to Tom Green, who had a good year and played some quality footy when he came back into the side. But I thought Riccardi's impact was huge when he came into the team. When they really needed it, he stood up when a couple of other more experienced key forwards didn't. And I think he brought a lot of excitement to the team. So I've gone Jake Riccardi for the Giants.
Okay.
And Dylan Stevens at the Swans. I think in the games, didn't set the world on fire a lot of times, but showed enough to show that he's very polished with the footy. He's a gun runner and he's going to be a good player for them for years to come. So look out for Dylan Stevens on the wing next year. So two outstanding talents.
I went with Lockie Ash for the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
I know he
was very good as well.
He didn't get a Rising Star nomination, probably didn't get any of the plaudits that Tom Green or definitely that Jake Riccardi received, but I thought he looked accomplished at the level, capable of playing across a half-back line any given week. He showed a bit when he went one-on-one with Bontempelli in the game against the Bulldogs. I really liked his, thought it was a very consistent, even season from Lockie Ash. So I went with Lockie Ash for the Giants. Now, for the Swans, you're probably not going to like this because technically he's a second-year player, but he only played, I think, one game last year, Justin McInerney.
So you're ignoring the rules. Is that what you're saying? You're just mavericking, breaking your own rules.
I'm putting him in there because I think he only had one game to his name. I love him. I love everything about him. I love his dash. I love his aggression. I love his attitude. He kicked a goal to cut it back to 6 points in the loss against the Cats over the weekend. And it was, you know, with 29 seconds on the clock, and he was giving it the big Leighton Hewitt come-ons, you know, pumping his team. I really, really like this young man as a football player, and I think he's a lock for the Swans across a halfback or a wing for the next 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, agree. Technically, he's ineligible, so
okay.
can't be in that
award. But, all right. And what about, we've got a Giant Swantown Fave Player Award.
We have, and it's more in the spirit of just, we've talked a lot about the players we like and the ones having a lot of shit in them, as we say.
Yes.
So this is not necessarily MVP sort of stuff, but
no.
It's just the players, you know, just those players you like. So the Giants, I've gone Harry Perryman. Just love the way he plays. Led the Coleman medal early in the year. So showed he's got some goal sense, playing on the wing, got moved into defence, played in the midfield, but he's hard as nails. Let's not forget his goal of the year. Which he no doubt will win in the next couple of weeks.
Did he win goal of the round?
I don't actually know.
I'll go back and check. Round 15, where Harry Perryman kicked that outstanding goal, he didn't get goal of the round.
Well, look, I don't want to disparage the other. I don't even know who won it, but who cares? On the Swans, similarly, James Rowbottom, second in contested possessions and third in clearances at the Swans. And like I said before, with Kennedy and Heaney missing some time this year, really stepped up inside. And I can't wait to see what he does over the next 2 or 3 years once he adds some bulk to that frame, because he's hard as nails, loves it tough, and is a great gun young player.
Kills, controversially, for the Giants, I don't have one. Cool. I don't have one. I like Perryman. I think, if I was going to pick someone, it's probably him, but nobody got me excited from the Giants this year watching them. Like, I love Bobby Hill, but I couldn't.
Jake Riccardi, no good?
Nah. I think the standard of the season overall just left me so underwhelmed that I couldn't find somebody that I went, oh, yes, you know, consistently. I couldn't. I didn't have anybody. I left that spot on my polling slip blank, girls.
Wow, that's a real, real massive slap in the face, but probably warranted.
But on the other side of the coin, for the Swans, Tom McCartan.
Yes.
Tom McCartan,
They Will Gould for a minute there.
We're going to get to that. Tom McCartan, I don't know. It'll upset me if his destiny is as a defender, because I love what he was progressing to as a key forward. But I just love it. I love the way he attacks contests now. He's growing. He's getting stronger. And you can just tell he's going to be the Swans enforcer for the next 10 years. I can see him going out there and fronting up when Tommy Papley picks fights that he can't finish. Tom McCartan's going to run in and finish them. And when, Jake Lloyd gets ragdolled by somebody in tackle, Tom McCartan's going to run over and sort it out. I love him. He's fantastic.
Still only 20 years old too.
Yeah.
Turns 21 on December 30, so he'll be 21 next year. Yeah, I agree. Love him. Got plenty of that poop in him. And I reckon he'll be one of the first on John Longmire's board next year when he starts putting those magnets together pre-season.
Yeah, the question is which end? The question is which end will he have in?
Well, unlike you, I don't like to pigeonhole players and tell them where to play. So I reckon he's going to be penciled in at centre-half back for the season.
No, but they have to put the magnet somewhere, Kells. They can't just have him hovering above the ground.
Well, they can. They might have two. They might put one at either end and then just take one down.
All right. We need to give a grade out for the season overall.
Well, Giants was easy. It was a big fat F for the finals that they didn't make, which is still extraordinary to me. I know they had some issues with Davis and Taylor. The best two key defenders missing. Taylor missed a lot of time. Davis, of course, the ex-skipper, is vital to them, but they still had enough talent in that team to make the finals, and I'm staggered they didn't. So an F for the finals-less Giants. And the Swans, I gave a C-. Might be a little bit harsh, but I'm not rewarding participation here. I'm here. I like the effort. I like the pluckiness they showed, the shit they showed, as we say. But they still didn't win enough games. And I think there was more talent there to win more games than they did. So C- for the Swannies.
I agree with your F for the Giants. I don't think we can argue there. I gave the Swans a B. And maybe that's a bit
generous.
Maybe we average it out to a C plus. But I think for what the Swans goals would have been at the start of the year internally, I think they probably ticked them off. They blooded a lot of young kids. They got a lot of games under the belts of, you know, those second year, third year type players. I think the reason I think I give that slightly higher grade is to have assisted Tom Papley in deciding to stay. I think that deserves some credit. So, yeah, I gave them a B for the season overall. And now that I think about it, it's probably a bit generous. But I'm a soft touch. What can I say?
Yeah, I've often heard the word soft describing you. But in other, more in on-field sort of terms. But, I thought that maybe I was a bit harsh. We probably could have gone in between. But
Well, if we average it out between the two of us, they get a C.
Yeah, that's probably not too bad. But five games in wins in a season, I think they could have won more.
Is that all they won? It feels like they won more than that.
Only won five games, but they lost a couple by three or four games by less than 10 points. So you chuck three or four of them in, and they're almost pushing for finals. Mm. So
all right,
lot to look forward to.
Okay, well, we've talked about our favourites. We've graded both teams. Now we need to look to the future a little. But in fact, before we look to the future, I want you to finish this statement, Curls. I can't believe. Give us an I can't believe for each team, if you please.
Well, for the Giants, I can't believe Jeremy Cameron hasn't been signed up yet. I would have thought that Zach Williams is gone. Aiden Corr's gone. Might be a couple of retirees. So I would have thought he would have been signed by now. I know there's details around soft caps and salary caps and list sizes and all that sort of thing, but I would have thought he would have been signed. So
okay,
that's a bit of a worry for me. And
I can't believe they dropped Stephen Cornelio in the second to last game of the year.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I've blanked that from my mind. So I don't actually think it happened anymore. So
I still can't believe that they decided to pull the rein at that time and send a message when their season was still in their own destiny. I just still find it staggering, especially when they then bring him back for round 18. Like, what have you achieved, given that they ended up losing that game by 5 points against the D's? That I can't believe that they dropped Stephen Cornelio round 17. All right, Curls, well, time to do an I can't believe for the Sydney Swans. And I think we can probably do this in unison, Curls. Let's finish this together. I can't believe we didn't see Will Gould.
I can't believe it. I'm staggered.
I can't believe it.
All I can think about is that shirt front when he dropped Matt DeBoer at Blacktown. That was one of my last paid employed gigs, actually, that game. But I think I just thought after that, I thought he was going to play a lot of footy. So, yeah, I was really disappointed, especially with Dane Rampey injured. So, obviously, we haven't seen up close, so we haven't seen what he's been doing in the scratchies and all that sort of thing with his training. But I think it was just disappointing for the fans.
Well, I'll go a step further, Curls. I think Swans win that game against the Cats if Will Gould's playing. I think he locks down Dangerfield. I think that's the perfect matchup. Will Gould goes straight to Danger. He physically bodies him, stops him getting out on that. Look, I might be getting
intimidates him.
Physically intimidates him. He lays one on him. Danger doesn't get up. No, look, disappointment all round. But if we flip it and we change our disappointment into excitement, round one, 2021, half back pocket, I don't care where you start him, W. Gould.
Yep, pencil him in. Big, strong preseason. He'll be there for sure.
Lock it in. Let's jump ahead, Curls. Let's have a bit of a look. Imagine that the trade window opens tomorrow. Let's start with the Giants. What do they need to go get? What do they need to do? We know Aiden Corr's leaving. We presume Zach Williams, who's said he's going to explore free agency, won't be there. What do they need to do? What do they need to do? They need to lock someone down? Is Harry Perryman their first port of call? What do they need to do?
Well, they need to sort out the ruck situation for a start. Jacobs has already retired. Mumford probably do the same. And Matt Flynn and Kieran Briggs are pretty raw. So with Williams leaving, Corr's going, would hope Perryman stays. I hope he stays. But if a few of these players leave, they need to get something back, and a ruckman should be top of the list. I'm not sure how many are out there. They might be able to, with contracts not meaning much these days, they might be able to get one through that. And midfield speed, I reckon they need, especially now that Williams has gone. Since Dylan Shields left, it's been an area of worry, I reckon, for them. They've got Canelio, Green, Taranto, Hopper, Ward, these sort of guys are all hard and tough, but there's not a lot of leg speed in there. So they need to get some wheels into the joint.
Yeah, the Ruckman one is it's a difficult one because I don't think that there's not a lot out there in terms of the ruck stocks. It's slim pickings. I don't know whether, again, those two young kids you mentioned, I don't know how far along they are, but it's a real issue that the Giants need to address. Midfield speed, I'm not quite as worried about. I like Lockie Ash. I think he brings some speed. I think Jai Caldwell, if they retain him, has got some nice pace to him. I still think there's enough speed in the team. I really think they need to go on, they need to find another key defender. Lockie Keith was a stopgap measure this year. He did an outstanding job in the absence of Phil Davis and Sam Taylor, and now we know Aiden Corr's leaving. Phil Davis has only got so many years left. I think they need to go and find just that third tall that is going to sit alongside Sam Taylor and Nick Haynes for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah, it's a fair call too. You would hope that they could. There's not much to bring through in that area either. So, yeah, that's a good call.
All right. What about the Swans, Curls? What do they need to go get this off-season?
Similar to the Giants, they need a ruckman. Sam Naismith's obviously going to miss a lot of footy, unfortunately. Callum Sinclair is a warrior, and he's battled hard this year, but I don't think he's going to give them too much next year. Mm. So I think a ruckman, but like you've said before, there's not a lot out there, but if they can wrangle something, and a key forward too. We know Joe Danaher's all the talk with the Swans after what happened last year, but I do think they need something there to play alongside Franklin and Reed, Papley, these sort of guys, and Haywood. So if they can, I know there's probably not a lot of them out there either, but those are the key areas of weakness I see, because I see McCartan at centre back and Aaliyah down there with Dane Rampey, pretty strong defence. So that's the way I see it.
Peter Wright is an interesting one, currently at the Gold Coast Suns, but can't get a game and doesn't look like he'll be a part of that forward line moving forward. I think they've progressed with Ben King and Sam Day, and Jared Witz is obviously their right. I can't see Peter Wright being a part of that Gold Coast setup moving forward. I wonder if he's worth a look at for the Sydney teams. He might not be mobile enough for the current game, but he's at least worth exploring. The other name, and I don't know... We know contracts aren't worth what they used to be, but I don't know. He's contracted until the end of 2022. Braden Pruce currently contracted at Melbourne. He's never going to be their first-choice ruckman because Max Gawn is one of the best three in the competition. Braden Pruce is 25 years old, and he's wasting away as a backup. At the Swans or the Giants, he is number one option.
Yeah, he probably would be, but I don't reckon he's AFL standard.
Braden Pruce.
Season after season. I know he's played some all right games, but I just don't think he's mobile enough. If they could get him cheap, absolutely, I'd have a crack, especially if I was the Giants, because they've got nothing at the moment apart from a couple of young raw blokes. So unless they want to back Matt Flynn, I'd say, yeah, I'd go for Pruce if it doesn't cost too much in terms of salary cap and draft picks or trades, whatever, however they get it done.
I just don't know what else is out there at the moment. That's the difficulty of that. I mean, you look at Port Adelaide with Lysette. They're fortunate they've got Laddams as this second ruck that can run around. And you look at West Coast with Nat Nui and Oscar Allen able to, you know, play forward and then be a pinch hit for Nat Nui. They're in a fortunate position. You got teams with a dominant ruck like Gawn and Grundy and Tim English. Rowan Marshall at the Saints is another one that's interesting, although I don't think the Saints would let him go at all, with given Paddy Ryder's age. I just don't think, you talk about AFL standard, I don't see a lot out there in the tall man stocks.
Yeah, you're right, but I think in this day and age, everyone's gettable. Doesn't matter who's contracted. We know that contracts mean virtually nothing these days. So look around, see who's out there. There might be someone who's, I mean, Nan Curvis, I think, is one that I'm not sure is contracted for next year. And I know Soldo's gone down, so the Tigers wouldn't let him go. But someone like that, or Radigalia, or just something. Luke Jackson at Melbourne is a gun young player, and top 10 pick, but he's never going to be a number one ruckman while Gawn's there. So they've just got to get creative, I think.
I'm telling you, I think Braden Pruce is the answer. Oh, here's my bold prediction. I think you see Braden Pruce in the Harbour City in 2021.
Yeah, maybe. If it happens, I'll certainly bow down to you. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because, yeah, like we said, there's just not a lot of options. So they've just got to get creative.
And I have no inside information on that. That is purely just looking around the comp. All right. Well, look, this is goodbye. Unbelievably, this is... Oh, I just knocked a glass off and caught it in the studio. That was amazing. This is, in the words of Andre Bocelli, Curls.
Time to say goodbye.
We're ending Giant Swan Town earlier than we thought we ever would in 2020.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I thought all our big finals plans, the trip overseas to do an outside broadcast before an NFL game, to bring the game to the American fans, all that's just gone up in smoke. So
I can't believe we had to say no to the Las Vegas casino that wanted us to host our end of season show there.
The MGM Grand is always a great visit too. So shout out to those guys for the invite, but we'll have to wait till this COVID stuff's all settled and we'll get back over there next year. But I reckon nobody'd be more disappointed than the Giants players than us. So and Swans players, no doubt. So good luck to them for a big summer. And let's hope next year they come back bigger and better and we get back to some bloody normal footy.
It is. It's a goodbye from us here on Giant Swan Town. We're gonna go away in our off season. We're gonna work harder. We're gonna come back better. We're gonna come back more organised, Curls. We're gonna come back with better audio. We're gonna come back with better equipment. We're gonna come back with better insights into football in Sydney. And that's just you, Curls. I'll probably come back at the same level that I've been. But we are going to take a break for now. I hope you enjoy your finals football. Hope whoever you decide to get behind for the finals campaign gets up. We will be back. I think you might see us early 2021 with a little season preview as we look ahead at the players that the Giants and the Swans have picked up and how they're shaping up ahead of round one. But for now, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me, and thanks very much to all the Giants and Swans fans for tuning in and reaching out on social media. Thanks to you, Flanners, for the invite to come on and get this show up. It's been a lot of fun in a pretty tough year, so thanks very much for everyone's support.
Absolutely. Thank you to everybody who has got on board the show. Hope you've enjoyed it. I know Kels and I have, and we will be back bigger and better in 2021.